100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom!
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Hello, 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 everybody. It is All In with Savannah Murphy, where your existence is authentically your real talk, real time, real life. Let's go. I am so excited today because I have a guest that is so influential in my testimony and my faith story and just me as a person and just a mentor. And we talk so much here about those things. And, you know, we're lucky because we have Bashani Radio in New York City that's always talking about everything and allows us to gather here and have a place where we can hear people's story, get inspired, get motivated, and just learn a little bit more about people. So with that being said, I want to welcome Kathy Talley. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. So Kathy, you know, I know, but for our listeners, really, you know, I want to dive into your passion because your passion is for people. You wear so many different hats personally and in professionally and just with your fellowship and just trusting in God and who you are. And I know that's come at, you know, a price at some moments in your life. And your story has always inspired me and just, I mean, really you just being a listener. And so the vengeance of just listening to God's, you know, nudge in your life is huge. So with that, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about you and kind of who you are right now in your life and kind of what that looks like?
Well, it's been a journey, as it always is. And I think through the journey is what has enhanced my passion. I definitely have a huge passion for people, as you said. I love big. I hug strong. And
Very strong.
Yeah. And of recent, it's been really difficult in these times to not hug people. And people keep trying to tell me that we're not going to be hugging in the future. And I'm like, yeah, that's a big prayer because it just can't happen. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home. Went to church every Sunday. My parents were diligent in raising us to know who God was. But when I turned 18, it was one of those pivotal points where it's like, do I really have to go to church anymore? And the answer to that was yes, because it was embedded in me. But I don't know that I was growing personally in a personal relationship with Christ. I was just going through the motions that I was taught as a young person. And so the journey began and I started to get involved, as I do all the time. That's my personality. But I had many different hats, as you say, then, as I do now. Getting married in between all of that, having a husband come alongside Christ after dating, which was incredible. Moving fast forward, having children. And at that point, it became pivotal that my husband and I changed faith-based where we were in. And it was extremely huge for us because that was the first time that we were starting to own the Bible for ourselves versus somebody telling us what to do and that type of thing. And we were blessed there to raise our children there. We were involved in a huge ministry there. And we always wrap ourselves around the younger crowd. We started off with a young marrieds group. And we were in that ministry for 7 years. And we grew up from ground zero up to about 160 people. And it was just heart-filling, so extremely wonderful. But along that path, God was showing us some pivotal changes, and we were kind of ignoring them because we were in ministry, and we're like, we can't leave here. But when God wants to move you, you're going to get moved. And if you don't,
whether you like it or not,
if you don't listen to the soft moments, you're going to get pushed. So during this time, though, it was a really crazy time for us because life for me was pretty just level. I always tell people it was kind of like if there's a bump in the road, we get through it. Life was good. And this was the start of a very deep valley for us. We left that church. And as we left that church, we left behind many people, but also traveled with more people. But where we landed was a spot where God really met me, because I'm a doer, I'm a shaker, I'm a mover. And he said, yeah, you're not gonna. So for 3.5 years, I was in a be still moment. And that was huge for me, because I'm never still.
Right. And those are where it's so hard for a personality like yourself or like me, where we're just feed off people, feed off energy, feed off helping, feed off service, where you just kind of are lost in obedience. Yes.
Big time. And when we went to the new church, it was really funny because the pastor knew that we were hurt. And he said, well, if you just need to come here and heal, that's okay. And my first thought was, well, I'm going to stay here forever. You know, this is where I want to be. But another growth period for me is that knowing that I have to be in God's will. And so through this be still time, I was able to equate my life to more Bible people. And that, you know, the Bible became much more alive to me. I knew stories, but I think that it was easy just to pass stories off as, oh, it all worked out well. You know, Moses got him across the Red Sea. David became king, you know, all those things. So they always seemed positive as a little person, you know, Noah's Ark, you know, it was all good. It was tough for them to get through that time, but they did. And they always, in my mind, seemed like heroes in the end, and it was all good. But it really became pivotal to me that they went through terrible times and be still times. And it was really becoming much more of a treasure to my heart. And so praying profusely during this time, what the Lord was doing in me and what he was showing me and where we were going to go next. Just giving a backstory. We go to Northridge Church now. And I always loved that church, but it was far from our home. And Pete Wilson is an author pastor, and he was the pastor in Nashville at the time. And we went to, when we left our other church, I still ran a Bible study with young women at my home. And we did a Bible study authored by Pete Wilson. And he is actually a pastor that would come on as a guest speaker in the summers at Northridge. And the first summer I missed him. And the next summer I'm like, I am not missing this guy. So I dragged my whole group of friends out there. And as we're there, that's when they announced they were opening the Northridge Groseal campus. And I about lost it. I was like, I could feel the Holy Spirit at that moment moving me like, you are going here, girl. And all my other friends were just like, yeah, no, that's not for us. You know, la, la, la.
Right.
So there was a couple of different pivotal things that happened to get us there. There was a picnic and I couldn't go. And my husband never goes anywhere without me when it comes to stuff like that. And he went and he came home and he said, this is where we need to be. Oh, and so coming through that piece, we ended up at Northridge Groseal. But if you want to give me, I have more time to give you the backstory in the 5-year process of getting here.
I think the deeper that you want to go and, you know, sharing those moments, I think is for someone that has kind of had, you know, this faith, and a lot of people listening, I know, are not believers, but you believe in something. And the biggest thing is, like you said, kind of throughout your life, you had, you know, this foundation, great parents, all these things that have happened. But just when because you come from something in a background where you do have the faith and you do have good support, and maybe your story looks a lot different than other people's, and other people would perceive it to not have hardships or tough times. That's not true at all. And yours came later in life, which for a lot of us women, mothers and wives and people who are professionals, I think it can almost be harder because it's such a transition when you've been so used to kind of this blanket of coverage. If you're good to dive in, I am.
Awesome. Well, I love what you just said about, you know, at a younger age, because, it is hard sometimes when you're raised in the church that you don't have an exuberant faith story. We talk about that a lot, but for me, as I said earlier, my story was very kind of easy. If somebody passed away, they were older and you could wrap your head around that. Nothing happened in my life that really, it just was easy, I would say. And it was crazy. And people had these great faith stories and I didn't feel as I did. But I go back to, I went to a Christian school when I was in first grade, and they said that I accepted the Lord when I was in first grade, and I don't remember that. So then I went to a Billy Graham crusade. I accepted the Lord there. So I'm like, wow, accepted the Lord. And I was baptized as a baby. And again, you know, just going by what people told me to do. Well, when we made the crossover the first time leaving the first church behind, they did baptism by immersion. Mm-hmm. And so of course my dad and everyone else was saying, no, we're good. We're good. But that was another first piece for me owning the Bible, because I finally said, you know, I need to figure this out for myself. So I had to own that for myself. And so as I researched in the Bible, it was showing me that John the Baptist was baptized. And so that was a journey for me where it was like, I have to own my own faith story. I have to own this for myself, not because someone told me, but because I have to know for me and have a personal relationship for myself. So the journey began, and blessed beyond blessed to serve, as I said earlier, and be a part of a young married's ministry. And we just continued on that road. Well, as we fast forward again, after 17 years of being there, we were moved and going to the Be Still moment. But in that time, when I said that it was a 3.5 year Be Still moment, we kind of had a 5-year glitch in our life, a valley of sorts that I never knew would happen. The storms came. And so this life that I knew to be pretty much a straight line became very, very up and down. If you looked at it on a scale, it would be crazy. Right. My niece at 24, was diagnosed with a very, very rare cancer. It was insanely crazy. And this was at the same time that we were leaving this church behind, which was a huge death for us, because right. We were leaving people behind. And then trying to go through this time with my sister, seeing what happened with her. She was diagnosed in December and passed away in May. I was diagnosed with skin cancer during this time. As I said, my husband went into a business endeavor, a huge business endeavor. And after 5 years, we lost that business. We had to claim bankruptcy. This was something that was not going to happen in my life. That just was not even feasible. And here I found myself in these crazy storms, and I literally didn't know what to do. And it was during this time that the Lord wasn't letting me serve, and I was told to be still. So here you are now, losing pretty much everything that you know to be for yourself and who you are. Mm-hmm. But I had a choice in this time, and I didn't know what the choice was. But also during this time, my oldest daughter, we never had any problems with our kids, but she got into a situation hanging around with a different crowd. And when they say that you are who you hang around with, I never really believed that, because I thought I was strong enough to keep my kids away from that.
Right.
But she just got into a place where, she wasn't my child. I didn't know what to do with her. And again, this is all in the middle of this ginormous tsunami of a right. storm. And so one of the first things that I had to learn is I was going to lose my home potentially through this bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And my dad built our home along with my husband and family members. So it had even more of a special bond for me. But this was a place where I was starting to realize that I was holding on to worldly things versus really surrendering into the Lord. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows me knows that surrender is one of my biggest words in the world. And to some people, it's just a word. To me, it became an owned word. I had to own that word. And it was very pivotal, because our bankruptcy took a very long time because it was a business. We didn't go into bankruptcy personally, but when you go in for a business, it takes you down the whole road.
Takes everything.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So in this stage too, when we would meet with lawyers, they would say, how's your marriage? Because most people can't make it through this. And we were pleasantly surprised that because we had God in our lives, that he did take care of this. Not to say that there weren't emotional, tearful days, because when you're both in the same place and you can't help one another out of that place because you're in it together, it was very difficult. But there was one pivotal day, and I was just so afraid of losing our home. And I finally was just praying and praying, and I found the Lord saying, you have no control. Right. You can't control this. And that was the day that he whispered in my ear that you need to let this go. So I can remember it. I can remember it like yesterday. And I finally said, you know what, Lord, if I have to let it go and I have to live in an apartment, whatever it is, I surrender into you. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. And I will tell you, this was a 2-year process. And within a week, we found out we got to keep our home.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not saying that that's always going to happen in somebody's faith story, you know, because that was very quick, but it was a long 2 years up to it. And I think he was waiting for me to totally sell out, you know, and give it to him. During this time as well, my mom would always say, you know, we're givers. You know, if you need anything, my husband and I are both the same. We would give you the shirt off our back right now. That's just who we are. We love big. And she would always tell me, oh, Kathy, you know, you're never going to go without. You're never going to go without because of what you do for people. Well, here I was in the middle of the storm, in the middle of a bankruptcy. And I also remember going to her house saying, Mom, you said I would never go without. And I never remember hearing her voice, but I clearly remember the Lord saying, are you kidding me?
Right.
You have your family, you have your home, you have food, you have transportation. And in this, my husband's losing his job. I was working part-time at my job. There was no full-time job. It's a small business. And he literally walked by me saying, would you work full-time for me? I'm letting somebody go until I retire. And right then and there, I got a full-time job. And my husband wasn't working for about 6 months. I mean, I could see God's hand
everywhere
over this. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was in the adversity. So in the Bible, it tells us to count things as joy when we're in adversity. And I can remember prior to that saying, that is crazy. Because how I'm not joyful. You know, I am so not joyful. But when you get to the other side of something like that, that's when you can own that verse and understand that, yes, through this storm, I came out of this full of joy and learned something more than I ever could have imagined.
And, you know, that's so powerful. And sharing that is, I think, is a pivotal thing, especially for anyone who's listening, because you do go through peaks and valleys, and you don't know when you're going to get out of it. But the biggest thing is that you got to keep going, you know, regardless of where your faith falls or where what you believe in. But with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive back in and talk about a little bit more of what you're doing now and kind of what that process is.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are with All In, where your existence is authentically you. Today, we have Kathy Talley, who is one of my mentors and who is just an amazing person that lives with spirit and just is faithfully with God and just with herself and in her purposeful. She is purposeful living, in my opinion. And so if you weren't able to catch us on the first half of this, I urge you to go back and listen. But if you're just, you know, coming in and listening to us on the second half, we have talked about, you know, Kathy's, you know, faith through infancy to adulthood and then almost back to infancy again, where she took the time to decide and really make that decision as an adult on how she was going to be purposeful with God and in her faith walk, and where she was going through peaks and valleys as a mother and a wife and a, you know, lover of Christ and just really kind of lost. And, you know, then she was able to surrender and finally, you know, just
give in and know that it was out of her hands. And that's where she really started to flourish. So with that, we'll pick back up. And thanks again, Kathy, for talking with us today.
Well, thank you. Wow. Thank you for that intro. That was beautiful. Thank you, Savannah.
Hey, truth is truth.
Wow.
So well, let's pick up back where you, so now you've got your job and kind of, you know, God is starting to really show you, okay, I'm going to take care of you at this point because you've surrendered, you've laid this at my feet, and you're really at a point where things kind of start taking a little bit more of a turn to where you're becoming you.
Absolutely. So surrender was the first year where that I owned, and I had to surrender my daughter as well. That was very difficult because, you know, surrendering your home is one thing, but literally laying it down and saying, Lord, she's yours. But in the surrender, I had that word, but what was I surrendering in? And so the next word that God gave me was, you're surrendering in faith. And so that was my next step where I had to learn that word, what true faith meant, that I really had to have this faith in him, that he was going to do a work in this, regardless of what it is, because I have no control. And so then through that, the next word he gave me is trust, because he tells us that we can trust him. Well, as I was surrendering my daughter, those words were very pivotal. But the next step came with Jeremiah 29:11. And he said, Kathy, I have a plan for your daughter. So you have to let me take that piece. So that is my total life story. Every day that I wake up, I surrender in faith and trust in the plan that he has for me and all those around me, that I can't control that. So that was just huge. And that's my life song. That is what I do every day. And so as that pivotal point became even more apparent to me with surrendering, I let that go for my daughter, and praise God, she's back. And again, it's because I let him control it. Everybody has to have their own story. I had to have my story. She had to have her story, and I couldn't change it. And so that being said, as we fast forward some more, we landed at Northridge Groziel, and the Lord just opened up the door. We walked in and we said, we'll be greeters. It was a brand new church. It was a campus of the bigger church in Plymouth. But they opened up just with a few people. My husband and I started greeting. And then all of a sudden the Lord just said, okay, here you go, girl. You're back. So we were asked to run a ministry called Starting Point. And that was incredible. We still get to do that. I always say I get to do this. I love that I get to serve. And so we started there wearing many different hats. As you said in the beginning, we did whatever it took to get this campus up and running to help with that. And then the Lord opened up that I could run the women's ministry at this campus. And my heart was full because I just love women. Mm-hmm. I love just pouring into them and seeing them grow. And so I started there. Well, then there was a couple of young women in the group, and I just couldn't keep my mind off of them. And there was a lady at our campus that said, could you get some young women involved? And once it gets in my head, that's it.
Watch out.
And yeah. And so I was at a meeting at the main campus, and all I could see were girls your age, Savannah. Mm. And I came back and I said, can we start a young girls group? And they said, well, how many do you think you'll have? And I said, one. Because there was only one girl there then. Well, that first season, the Lord blessed us with 17 girls. And then we grew. And we kind of hovered over about 35 to 40 girls. And the Lord was really prompting that we needed to do a mentorship program. And I didn't know what that looked like. Sometimes when things get whispered in your ear, you ignore them because it seems big, or maybe it's not for you. But I was able to team up with the girl that led out in Plymouth, the women's ministry there. And we just, for a year, just kept praying over it and what this looked like. And the Lord just opened it up, and it became a ministry called Flourish. Mm-hmm. And it is just an amazing mentorship ministry. We grew to over 100 women. We have 16 leaders and co-leaders with us, and it's my passion. It's what I do every day. My daughter tells me all I do is flourish. And I'm like, well, that's a good thing because I love to flourish.
It's so important.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at today with that ministry.
And, you know, Kathy, kind of, you know, we're going to be coming to the end of this beautiful talk today, but I think that it's so important for people to understand that, you know, I was one of those women in the, I guess, infancy or first beginning parts of Flourish. And
I was not a member at Groziel, but I was a member at Plymouth and just came by God, by chance. And in one of the darkest seasons of my life. And I remember you just coming up to me. I was in such a place where I didn't even know, you know, where I was it coming or going. I was at church. I think it was Easter service. And you're like, yeah, we're going to go to Starbucks. We're going to have coffee. I loved Starbucks and I love coffee. So I was like, okay, whatever that means. But then you really, you know, you met me right where I needed, and God knew that and seen that. And it changed my life, and having Flourish come in, it's changed my life, and watching Flourish grow has changed just so much in my heart and in my soul. And just really understanding that when you have a purpose and you're living purposefully, no matter what your belief is or what you're doing out there, that you can succeed if you just stay, you know, steadfast on it. And watching you do that and watching the leaders and watching women that come in, not knowing God, not knowing Christ, not knowing if they're in the right place, but they're just so desperate for something. Yeah. Then watching them throughout that, talk a little bit, learn a little bit, fall in love with the women, fall in love with maybe God, or just really fall in love with the idea of something bigger than what they had prior. And I just commend you because you've done that. You know what I mean? You have done that to where you are changing people. You're waking the world up to Jesus, which is part of our church, you know, mentor. But I think the biggest thing is that you have, or mantra rather, but one of the biggest things that you've done is you've allowed a sanctuary, a place where we can come and we can just be us. And we can meet people right where we're at, and we can listen to stories of people that have been where we've been and know that they've come out the other side. Maybe it's not pretty, but it's honest. Mm-hmm. And you can be with women that are going through what you're going through, or maybe some that haven't quite gone through what I've gone through. Maybe I can help them. So you've allowed mentorship, and you've allowed people to share testimony. And that's how people grow, I believe. And I just want to thank you. And I have one last question for you.
Okay.
So with this being all in, what does that, as it's right now or 5 years from now, whatever, wherever you see that, but for you, what does all in mean?
Well, this journey has put me all in. I love the name of this. I love it tremendously because I'm a forward mover. And I think to be all in, you have to go forward. You can't go back. You have to continue. And being all in is actually equals surrender to me. It really mm-hmm. does. I think it's one and the same, because laying it down, being all in, whatever it takes for Jesus. And I love what you said about the program, because there's no judgment, and people have been judged tremendously in the religious walk of life. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it's about. And you can be all in with Jesus, because he doesn't judge anybody and he's there for everyone. And I want to be just like him. I mean, he was all in to the end, mm-hmm. all in to the end. And that's what I want to do. I want to get to the other side and have him say, "You were all in, my faithful servant."
Mm. And you are just a girl who loves Jesus, and you have instilled that in so many, you know, so many people's lives. And you and Mike are such an inspiration to a lot of, you know, married couples that are just kind of in the thick of it, is what I like to say. So I commend you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today. And I know listeners will be changed for hearing it. So thank awesome. You. We're all in, and now we're all out.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Percent black owned and operated. They said it couldn't be done. We did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom!